prayer, this Adirasa topic. In fact, I think that the Beda Tattva the simultaneous oneness and difference that we find in the Vaishnava traditions, rather than extreme dualism or extreme monism, solves a lot, even like philosophically, but also practically for life, understanding of life. For instance, that question which I raised, kind of, not humoristically, but just to see what reactions would follow, but not much as usual. Is there sex in the spiritual world? And well, a friend of mine was strongly arguing that no, there is no sex in the spiritual world. And then I looked through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who said there is, of course, sex in the spiritual world. But then the question is, you know, Adirasa means sex between Radha and Krishna. That's just, you know, pure love, real, the real thing, which is then pervertedly reflected as lust here in this world. Me, I want to now own that person and enjoy that, and you know, it's like, because that's what lust is, as opposed to love, where you want to actually give pleasure to the other person and just give your love with your whole heart. So then that question which I brought up following this was, of course, is there not only, okay, sex between Krishna and his consort and, you know, the divine couple like that, but how about us? And then someone, maybe it was that same friend, said that no, the gopis and the gopas, you know, and we, in that, even though we have, we may have a very, very beautiful wife or a very, very handsome husband, whether in this world or in another world or, you know, Goloka, we don't have any sex. You can't have sex with a spiritual body. That's how I expressed it. But, and I understand the, because you find it there also in the teachings or that, but when I look at those, when he's making the such statements, he's talking very much seen from the material point of view, often to guests who are new to this, you know, or of course neophyte disciples, that now there's no sex in the spiritual world. This stuff that we do here, this lusty activity in the spiritual world, is just pure love. So, but then on another, you know, if there's if there can't be sex in the spiritual world, how can Radha and Krishna have that? So it just, there's just something more to it. that was my, always actually my feeling about this topic. And I really think it is resolved when you are neither a monist, an Advaita follower, nor a pure dualist, pure, but an extreme dualist. Why? Because in the first case of the monist, they believe that everything, all the, you know, senses and the sense objects and we as persons, whatever forms we have, whatever world we're in, are just products of Maya, illusion, that can't exist in God. And therefore, the path to liberation, mukti, is largely powered by, so to speak, renunciation. Just learning how to completely give up and abstain and just reject all sensual activities. You find that in Buddhism too, you know, people get very skinny and they look very, you know, like you're trying to give up everything. Now, that because that's, you could say, the path and the goal and the whole point of this Advaita monist idea, especially of the Mayavad type. Anyway, and therefore, you know, you find these very austere monks and all that. But Vaishnavism is powered by love, love and devotion. And it is sensual because it doesn't, the Vaishnava Siddhanta doesn't, you know, deny the existence of the senses. We have senses in the in our original body too. That's why we have senses here. And those senses are doing, all, you know, we're having wonderful experiences and loving relationships to God, to Krishna, bhakti. But, and here comes the Beda Beda Tattva, Krishna involves, includes not only God, you know, the big controller and so on, but God and God's expansions. In other words, everyone and every, you know. So when you love God, then you love all the parts and parcels of God too. And I'm not talking of just philosophically, but the way we live, should live and can live day to day with each other. It's not that a Vaishnava devotee should and must be indifferent and cold, neutral and, you know, like that towards others, especially not other devotees, as if showing love to others is something sensual, you know, something materialistic. If you think that, I may challenge that this can be a certain monist Advaita Mayavad contamination, because that contamination creeps in from, you know, there's a lot of dominance of that in India, especially used to be. So, you know, I'm just saying this is something we should look at ourselves and philosophically in general, because it's very, very important. It's not just a theoretical idea in the mind. It's about how we relate to each other. But rather, if we allow ourselves, you know, which is, again, completely supported by the Beda Beda Tattva, you know, this, here is Krishna, everything, everyone, Krishna, all that exists is Krishna, but Krishna is expanded into all of us, who are also one with, but at the same time different from Krishna. We are never separated from Krishna. We just kind of have independence and appear separated. We can feel, we can forget something like that. So when we have love for Krishna, we of course love the whole Krishna, meaning also all the parts and parcels, the little sparks of Krishna, that means each other. Now, how is that love expressed? Of course it expressed the way according to those rasas that we learn about in the Nectar of Devotion, that simply describe the ways of exchanging love between people, between us who live. You know, the ones of servant or a friend or parent, family member. And romantic, you know, what do you call it? Lover. So it means just what it is. You have family, then you love your parents, you love your siblings, you love your children. In different ways, depending on the relationship. And you express that love in whatever way that makes sense, in whatever way that works. And that goes from all the relationships, from that of, you know, being serving your master or employer or whatever, to conjugal love. It's not the matter of how the love is expressed. It's a matter of that real love is expressed through whatever activity you do. Unselfish, really caring about the other person, really wanting to give highest happiness to the other person. So, in this Siddhanta that I'm trying to kind of present here, it's not about sensuality or non-sensuality versus, you know, one or the other. It's about whether we use our senses selfishly, greedily, lustily, you know, that kind of exploitative and also, of course, for enjoying material forms. Because they are temporary, of course. But of course you can enjoy something that is temporary, as when you go see a movie or go to whatever, as long as you are aware of that they are temporary, but they are telling you about a higher reality that is real and eternal. So it's not wrong in itself to be attracted to and to enjoy and adore temporary beautiful forms and so on. But if you can't see the eternal reality behind those forms, the real forms that they are simply resembling, like a painting or a whatever, theater play, then you will be frustrated because you will lose those forms. But for instance, you have a beautiful wife, if you're a man, I can just speak for myself, then yes, she is beautiful. And you know that that beauty is going to dwindle as she ages. And of course, the same thing for a woman but towards a man. Uh, but you still appreciate that beauty and you can show that appreciation. But you're supposed to learn to see deeper and more real and more sattvic, I guess you could say, the actual beauty that is there behind that physical temporary form, right? And love that person. Not just love that beautiful young girl because she is beautiful and young. Anyone can understand that this is kind of hopeless. What are you going to do when she is not young and beautiful anymore, okay? So, this is how I see it, that we should simply and can, whatever relationships we have, whatever kind of body we have, however beautiful or not beautiful, whatever, long lived or not, we can learn to love for real, and that's what we're supposed to learn here. Each other as parts and rays of God, of Krishna. Then this world will be a beautiful place, the way it's supposed to be. Now, of course, then you have the, talking a little philosophically here, I'm just trying here, if you have the extreme dualism, then again, you're there, you know, you have God, okay, God loves Krishna, loves Radha, and they have their, you know, whatever, adirasa pastimes like that. But then here you have us, miserable beings, low, fallen, faulty, limited, smaller, you know, smallest. Sometimes even devotees that talk, they go into that kind of role, right? They like these statements that I'm lower than a worm in the stool, you know, that kind of. And then you have on the other side there this, you know, Krishna is just that's where things are going on. I'm just supposed to serve Krishna over there somehow or other. But, you know, it can turn, that I think can be a result of two extreme dualism. We can't see that there is also oneness between us and God. Because if you can't see that, then it's hard to learn how to see to fully love and appreciate and respect each other, because the only one to be loved and respected and so on is God over there, up there, you know. And all these ugly humans, ugh, get me out of here. I mean, sometimes you find that attitude, right? So, anyway, I thought this could be a valuable thing to consider and to try to get clear about.